Well, I hope you have your handout in front of you, and if you're looking for a place to possibly camp in the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 14 is a good place, but we will be flying high above both the Old and New Testament this evening as we continue our study on pneumatology, the doctrine and the study of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be entering into some deep marshes of this doctrine in the area of spiritual gifts. If ever there is an area that divides denominations, it is the interpretation and application of spiritual gifts. And that's unfortunate because spiritual gifts are primarily, if not solely, given to believers for the building up of the church, not for the division of the church. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But let's ask God's blessing that He would be our teacher this evening, and then we'll roll forward in pneumatology. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that You would illuminate Your Word, that You would teach us, because as fallen man, the things of the Lord are foreign, foolishness, and offensive. But Lord, through the empowering of Your Holy Spirit and the redemption of our souls, You teach us divine truths that in and of ourselves are incapable of discerning and applying. So Lord, teach us, but also bear witness to us about these truths. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last time we were together, we talked about the filling of the Holy Spirit and how the filling of the Holy Spirit is not a ooey canooey mystical word, but in a very simplified, boiled down definition, the filling of the Holy Spirit is to be under the control and leadership of the Holy Spirit in your lives. Rather than you being in the driver's seat, the Lord is not only in the driver's seat, but He owns the entire car from top to bottom, hood to bumper. To be under the control of the Holy Spirit is to have the filling of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if you are living in habitual sin or unrepentant sin, it is impossible to be filled by the Holy Spirit at that time because you're no longer under His control. That is to be distinguished from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We'll get to that in future weeks to come. We talked about how the filling of the Holy Spirit is both a blessing and also a responsibility in our lives, in that we are filled by the Holy Spirit primarily through four different areas. It's not just in living a life however we want to live it, and then when we're ready to get that tingly feeling up our spine during worship or study, we say, Lord, fill us. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord will not honor the request of filling you if your life is defined by habitual embracement of sin. Filling is found, and it is a responsibility, through four major tributaries, if you will, and that is obedience to God's Word. Filling is found through acts of obedience, through confessing known sin, yielding to His will, and here it is, continued learning of deep doctrinal truths. These four things lead to true, sustained filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I really want to concentrate this evening on continued learning of God's Word. You continually learn about your spouse throughout your entire life. You get to know them more and more, and you have a more intimate understanding of who they are. The same is true in our relationship with God, to continue to learn His deep truths. A one-inch, mile-wide, deep relationship with Jesus Christ is one that is not destined for great success and sustained holiness in our lives. So let's move into one thing here. And so now we're going to look at a few more ministries and works of the Holy Spirit and what He has in our lives. And then we're going to spend the lion's share of our time this evening moving into the introduction of spiritual gifts. So for a moment, we're just going to look at the Holy Spirit's work in us today, and we'll finish that up and then go into spiritual gifts. And the first one that's important to understand is that the Holy Spirit prays and intercedes on our behalf. The Holy Spirit prays within us with an inaudible, expressionable sighs. Romans 8, 26 through 27. He enables us to pray effectively. He takes our shortcomings and, yes, our lack of understanding of God's will and His glory and His Word, our shortcomings, and prays on our behalf in a more correct manner for God's will and glory in our lives. Jude chapter 20 talks about this. Now, this is not to be confused with tongues or inexplicable expressions or static utterances. This is the Holy Spirit praying within us and interceding on our behalf. It's impossible to fully comprehend. However, Scripture says that He does do it. So if I could give you a surface, way surfaced example, because I cannot possibly give you an exhaustive example of this, the Holy Spirit takes our shortcomings and our lack of understanding, and He prays on our behalf to God and for His glory. For the longest time, I, and Jory, Pastor Jory was actually the one to correct me on this, and so I laid him off for a week. But for the longest time, where are you, Pastor Jory? Right here. Remember I used to always say, that's an incredible French benefit. And I would constantly say, French benefit. Don't, Christy, don't look like that, all right? And I kept saying, French benefit, which apparently is a completely different thing. And finally, Pastor Jory said, I think you mean fringe benefit. And I said, no, I know exactly what I'm trying to say. Don't correct me. He understood what I was trying to say. Do you know how often we pray with the right intent? With the right intent, but we're off. That we are confused with what we want and our desires or our lack of understanding with the Word of God. He understood what I was trying to say, what I was trying to accomplish, and He corrected and formed my sentence to be more productive and more meaningful and more correct. When we pray, there are times when our prayers are inaccurate. They're ignorant. They're off base or they're weak. The Holy Spirit, because of His love, His mercy, and His grace, He takes up our cause as He indwells us, and He prays for us, directing our intent to line up more with the will and glory of God. Well, almost all of this takes place below our level of awareness. From time to time, it does rise to our conscious level and the yearnings of our human spirit. Some of us have been such through some deep, deep valleys or highs where our soul and the Holy Spirit's prayer are in concert with one another. I think many of us have experienced this in our lives, where our prayer and our passions are tangibly linked with the Holy Spirit. There's times when we can almost tangibly sense it. But most often it happens below our level of awareness. Another area the Holy Spirit works is the Holy Spirit convicts. Without the Holy Spirit, sin would really have absolutely no agitating effect on our lives because it condones and coincides with natural man. 1 John 3:20. Through the Scriptures, sin in our life that are unknown to us, that we have forgotten, they are revealed for the purpose of purifying our hearts. Where the Holy Spirit says, you know what? This is growing in your garden. It's time to weed it. Don't ignore it. It's there. And He convicts us of things naturally we would desire and we would want and we'd be pleasured with. Another one is the Holy Spirit bears witness. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Holy Spirit bears witness to our human understanding. 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, Romans. He takes what we learn in Scripture and makes it meaningful to us personally on an individual level. We'll touch on that in just a few more seconds. This is not to be confused in any way with the teaching of the Holy Spirit. You have the bearing witness of the Holy Spirit and the teaching of the Holy Spirit, and there is a distinguishable mark between the two. This is also known as divine illumination, when He illumines or sheds light on His Word in our blind and darkened eyes, human eyes. This is the activity whereby the Holy Spirit gives His children, His people, the understanding of biblical and divine truths. John 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 11 through 12. He also gives His people discernment. Now I want you to grab that. We're going to go there for a moment. But I have a video for you that I want to share with you. All right? He not only illuminates and teaches us the Word of God, that which is foreign to us and our natural man, but He also bears witness in our lives, but He also gives His people discernment through personal responsibility of studying the Word of God to show ourselves approved, hiding it in our hearts that we might not sin against God. But He also gives us discernment to distinguish between truth and error. 1 John 4, 1 through 6. Apart from this ministry of the Holy Spirit to bear witness and to illuminate the Scriptures and to give us the ability to discern between error and truth, it is impossible for anyone to understand spiritual teaching of God's Word in any way, shape, or form. Because the natural man sees the Word of God as foolishness. We know that's our natural state. So, when you take the teaching, and you take the bearing, and you take the discernment ministry of the Holy Spirit, it helps us to determine biblical truth. I have a 39-second clip I want you to listen to, and then I want you to tell me if you discern anything, and if you can, give me some scripture that seems to fit or not fit with what you are about to hear. That is a piece of red meat for us fundamental Bible-believing people, isn't it? Where do we start? Where's the fork and knife? Now, we're not here to attack Victoria Olsteen, all right? Teaching of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness of the Holy Spirit, the discernment of the Holy Spirit to divine truths. Is there anything that struck you as maybe inconsistent to what the Word of God teaches? Anyone at all? I'm seeing some hands. This is what you get. And I'm going to say this without apology, because sometimes there is a level of prosperity and wealth, false gospel, that rises to the level that must be addressed, and it popped its head out this week. All right? What you just heard is what you get when the Holy Spirit does not illuminate, when the Holy Spirit does not teach, when the Holy Spirit does not bear witness to His Word. What you listen to is completely void of anything that has to do with God's truth. In fact, I will say this without apology, but with love and compassion, if you will, the message is satanic. Oh, you've crossed a line. No. What you just heard there is the very same thing Satan tempted Jesus with. Doesn't God want you to be happy? Tell these stones to turn into bread. Cast yourself off the temple and gain the notoriety and the prosperity and the wealth. Did God truly say that you would die? No, you would be wise just like him. And he appeals to what the natural man already wants. Do you have to be saved to want money, fame, and success? Talk to me. No, we want it. We're born going, mine! The message of the Lord and His gospel is foreign, it is foolishness, and it is offensive. So if you are appealing to a person's soul with something that is already what his natural man desires, you have replaced the gospel with Satan's gospel. Satisfy yourself. I want to tell you this. What makes God most happy is not my happiness. I'm sure He does want me to rejoice in Him, to delight myself in the law of the Lord. But He is most happy not in my personal happiness, but in my personal holiness. Amen, class? Holiness. Holiness can and will produce something greater than personal happiness. There's the straw man, the straw goal out there of, just be happy. I'm going to tell you, happiness is great. Happiness is wonderful. But it's not the goal. There's something greater, and it's called divine joy. Happiness is determined on the circumstances outside of you. Joy is determined and sustained by what is inside of you, the Holy Spirit. Something far greater, you know what I'm trying to say, and meaningful than personal happiness. Whenever we approach Scripture, our prayer should be that of the psalmist, "Open the eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." Not my personal happiness. But it is here that we have to ask our question, what is the difference between the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit and the fact that He bears witness to us? Simply stated as this, the teaching, the illumination, is where He gives His people the understanding of divine truth. John 14:26. Excuse me. Bearing witness makes that understanding meaningful to you personally. Meaning to you personally, Romans 8:16. All of us could study the same passage of Scripture. The illuminating teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit will guide and aid us to an understanding of exactly what God is revealing to us. Matthew 18, all right? Or the Lord's Supper passage in 1 Corinthians. We would all come to one meaning of that passage because there's one accurate interpretation of that passage. That is the teaching and illuminating ministry of the Holy Spirit. That there is one intent of every passage in the Word of God on the issue of accuracy. However, after revealing that one accurate truth to all of us, its meaning will impact us differently in our individual areas of our life, and that's called bearing witness to you. I cannot tell you how many times people will come up and say, that is exactly the message I needed to hear. And you must have known what is going on in my life, and I don't. And they will give me two completely different things that are going on in their lives. Whether it be from the marriage over here, or the job situation over here, or the school situation over here, and from one accurate, God help me, accurate interpretation of God's Word, we have three different bearing witnesses and meaning in their individual lives in that application. For example, a communion passage, when we talk about examining our hearts to make sure there's no divisions within the church, we all understand that one contextual truth of that passage, but we'll have different applications. My mind will go to one person, your mind will go to another person. Some will go on how we treated someone here or someone there. So in essence, the teaching of the Holy Spirit says, this is what I mean. A corporate universal truth. This is what it means. Bearing witness is what it means to you personally and what you ought to do with it. Do we not serve a personal and intimate God in the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Now we're going to transition into the introduction of spiritual gifts. And this is something I think huge to our introduction that I have missed all my years of growing up in the church. Never been taught it. And if I had, I don't remember it. And it's clearly something that is missed today or simply refused to be applied today because the Holy Spirit bears witness to the truth in His Word. So either we're not learning it or we're plugging our ears going, nah, 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 I don't want it. But here it is. Take a look at this. And it would revolutionize the church. Here it is. Holy Spirit imparts spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are measures of divine grace. It's found within the name. By which the Holy Spirit enables believers to do special ministries for the glory of God. For the primary, if not sole purpose, of building up the church. Did you catch that? Every believer is given a spiritual gift for the purpose of building up the bride of Christ. Grab that. Don't let that truth that is often dismissed, and when I say often, I mean lion's share. 10% of the people do how much of the work? All of it. Don't let that divine truth pass you by. Every believer is given gifts from the Holy Spirit to use for the purpose of building up the church. We'll affirm this in a different study soon. But let us not miss this pure application in our lives while it's still ringing in our ears. Since every believer, save none. Every believer. There's not one single child of God that is birthed into the family of God through no works of righteousness on his own, but through the pre-salvational ministry of the Holy Spirit, the salvational ministry of the Holy Spirit, and the post-salvational ministry of the Holy Spirit. Truly, salvation is wholly of God. Not once does he pull that child out from the realms of death and say, give her nothing. Give him nothing. Every believer receives a spiritual gift. Now, since every believer is given gifts for the purpose of building up the church, that forces us to face a question, a wonderful question. And it is this: is it acceptable in the sight of God for a believer to come, sit, soak, and do nothing for the bride of Christ? The answer, class, is what? No. Does it happen? Does it happen a lot? Does it happen more than not? I would contest that there are those who look for a church where they can slip in and out. Now, I don't mean to minimize this to just these four walls, because the bride of Christ is greater than these four walls. But this is the most tangible place you can begin. People will look for a church to avoid responsibility. Slip in, slip out, check the box, call myself a Christian. This is huge to our understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is impossible to be obedient to God with our lives and not be involved with the building up of His bride. Wow! Impossible with the building of His bride to be neglected. All of us are to be active with our gifts in the bride of Christ. There is nothing right, there is nothing holy, there is nothing consistent about coming late, leaving early, just let me check the box off of church in my life, Christianity. We were created to do good works for His glory, with His gifts, for His bride. Amen? That's biblical. Yet what is the church doing? Better yet, what are you doing? What am I doing? By the way, do you know that this has an important practical truth as well? Michael Guest, would you please, and I picked these, I'm going to pick Rochelle, Michael, and Stephen. Real quick, would you please just tell me the hats that you wear at Trinity Baptist Church? Go.
Now, he just asked me to do this, so I...
Yeah, Mike, I'm not asking you to explain.
I say this, I speak as a fool, and my caveat is, because I have so many of these, that all of them could be done better if someone else helped with it. So,
blah, blah, blah. Give us the list.
I was kicked off the CE and music committees due to term limits. I'm the Awana commander. I'm one of the six elders, chairman of the building and grounds, honorary member of decorating committee. I'm the song leader occasionally. I edit up and upload the sermons to the website. I run the sound booth every other month. The other months, I'm a greeter. Design and build of the youth space downstairs in this sanctuary. And I'm not allowed on any other new committees because of my pastor.
That's right. He's not allowed to do anything else. So don't ask him. The answer is no. Rochelle, how about you?
Okay, well, in Awana, I help out. I'm the song leader. I teach lessons, and I plan and sign up other people to teach. I'm a regular leader for the girls. I'm also one of the games coach, and we took home the gold at the championships last year. Whoop, whoop. In youth group, I'm the junior high Sunday school teacher on Sunday mornings. I go on retreats. I'm the fun and crazy spokesperson for the youth group. I mentor some girls and hang out with them outside in their world. I have sleepovers at my house, and I go to the snacks, which are Sunday nights after church. I'm also the pro-life representative for the church, which you guys didn't know that, but you do now. And so I'm going to be needing people to sign up to pray at the abortion clinic for two different days this fall. So I'll be telling you more about that later on. I'm the national TV spokesperson, as you see me appear on American Bible Challenge. And other areas I help in just here and there. I'm on the nursery rotation. I try to greet new people. I'm part of sermon illustrations. I do some work days. I work with evangelism at events like the Free For All or Puppet Houses. And I'm also in skits or some kids' plays that I get asked to volunteer in. So that's what I do.
All right. Awesome. Well, last one, Stephen.
I was a deacon. Now I'm an elder, vice chairman. I work at the sound booth. I've done all the work for the expansion of the sound system as far as expanding what's up on the stage and moving the speakers. I lead worship, and I'll play guitar when I'm not leading worship. I also used to serve on the music committee, but had to stop due to term limits. I worked in Sparks, but now I'm leaving that so I can go help with the music and with the youth. I'm a Sunday school teacher, fill in occasionally for prayer meeting, And I also lead men's fraternity. I was the completion team chair member, had to sign my life away on this building, now part of the building expansion committee. I do the IT support around here and the networking. In my free time, I do general labor, helping out with the youth room or work days. I was in VBS skits, Christmas dramas. Carol Trim even made me sing a solo this year. And I also just finished the simulcast.
Yes. Yes, we've cut your credit card off. Now, do you think these people, God bless them, and many of you work as well, do you think they like wearing all these hats because they don't want anyone else to help? No. Finish the statement for me. Many hands make for what? Light work. Few hands make for heavy work. The Holy Spirit gave every believer spiritual gifts individualized to them for the purpose of building up the bride. Here's my question. You've heard what Steve's hands were doing, and Mike's hands, and Rochelle's hands, and I could say Joyce's hands, and Kurt's hands, and Grandpa's hands, and all of this. I feel like this message should be preached on or taught on a Sunday morning. Here's the question. What are your hands doing? Because it is impossible to be obedient to God by taking His spiritual gifts and laying them down at the side and saying personal convenience trumps them. In fact, the word gifts, charis, charismatic, the joy of gifts, finds its root word in grace gifts. Spiritual gifts are manifestation of God's power, which the Holy Spirit enables every believer to minister with certain capacities for the benefit of the congregation. All spiritual gifts are for the ministry of others and in the building up of the bride and the church and are not for personal gain whatsoever. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, within the context of spiritual gifts, says it very clearly. So it is with you. Since you are eager for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the what class? Build up the what? The church. 1 Corinthians 14:26. Everything, that's a big word. Everything must be done. I don't think we're on the right page, are we? No, let's go one more forward. I think we're two clicks behind here, boss. Let's see here. There it is. Let's do one more click. Here it is. Everything must be done. One more click. There you go. All right. Use your gifts. All right. Now walk them through there. Come on, buddy. Everything must be done. Everything must be done that the church may be built up. Each believer possesses different combinations of spiritual gifts as the Holy Spirit deems necessary for the building up of His bride. As members of the body of Christ, each of us who are saved has our own particular function in serving the kingdom and the church. Here's an application on the reverse side of the coin that all of us must be aware of, because remember, spiritual gifts are supposed to be something that builds up the church, yet it's been used to divide the church into different denominations due to, I will say, a lot of different variables, but also they'll grab spiritual gifts and then beat their brothers and sisters over the head saying, you should be more spiritual. It's amazing how we'll use something that's supposed to help us and it will hurt us. So grab this. It is wrong for us to demand from another believer something God has not gifted them to do. It is also wrong to make the possession of any one gift as a mark of greater spirituality, i.e., the gift of tongues in other denominations. You're not truly saved unless you speak in tongues, or you're not filled with the Holy Spirit unless you speak in tongues. We'll talk about that on another day, in 2 weeks actually. Or in our circles, the gift of evangelism. If you truly love God, you will evangelize. Now, we'll look at a distinction here that's very important, all right? And we do this in the church a lot. Not everyone has the gift of evangelism. And we'll define this gift next week and what God's Word says about it. Now, all of us should be sowers. In fact, Jesus Christ Himself teaches the difference between the two. All of us have the responsibility to sow the seeds of the gospel. Amen? We have a responsibility. That is a discipline, not to be confused with a gift. We are to be disciplined and share the gospel. But not all of us are reapers. That's evangelism. Not all of us are reapers. That is a spiritual gift. All of us should be sowers, but not all of us are reapers. Yet evangelism can sometimes be used to beat another person over the head as a sign of greater spirituality or not doing enough for the Lord and or love for God. And we'll say, if you truly love God, you will be more of an evangelist. My question is, at what cost? Less mercy? Less teaching? Less administration? Some of us have been given the gift of teaching. In fact, Roman says it just like this. Some have been given the gift of teaching. Some, the great gift of evangelism. Some, the great gift of serving and encouraging and gifting or giving or administration. In fact, Romans 12 verse 6 says we all have different gifts according to the grace gifts. That's the word for spiritual gifts. According to the grace given to us, let us each use their gift accordingly. What good would evangelism do if there were no disciplers? What good would discipleship be if there were no teachers? We need to stop guilting one another or elevating another gift over someone else's. And start allowing each other to freely, in a guilt-free way, use their gift that was given to build up His bride. Because God's plan is infinitely better, and I want to amen on this, because this is not a relative truth, if you will. God's plan and gifts and their use are infinitely better than our guilt trip and desires. Amen? His plan is bigger, it's better, it's fuller, it's complete. And we are required to use those gifts for the building of His church. So Rochelle, you have the gift of evangelism through and through. Go get them. Go get them. Chris Haven, you are a teacher. Go teach. Maxine Wickey has a gift of help and hospitality. You go, girl. Michelle Carroll, you have the gift of discipleship. Go make discipleships. Joyce Giddy, you have the gift of service. Go do your thing. Rob, you have the gift of administration. Go line those numbers up and cut my check. All right? But you can see that the abandonment of some gifts at the elevation of the others only takes the church out of balance and makes it weak. Let us stop demanding from one another what God is not demanding. For we all have different gifts for different reasons to bring the fullest, most balanced glory to God we possibly can together. Together. And we form one body with many members. But all of us are required by God to use the gifts we have for the building up of the church. Here's the question, and we're closing with it. So it's your favorite question. Where are you serving in the bride? Do you see the bride as something that ministers to you? I would say, as a general rule, for the universal church, the answer is yes. They don't have the programs I want. They don't have the ministries I desire. They don't sing the songs I want. Could we have a more backwards view of the gifts and the talents that God gives us through the Holy Spirit? Gifts are to be used to the ministry of others, not for personal gain. Now, I want you to note one thing. There is a difference between the gift of the Holy Spirit and spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are things that all believers are expected to do. They are not gifts. They are disciplines. All of you are expected to pray. It's not a gift. All of you are expected to give. All of you are expected to worship. All of you are expected to serve. All of you are expected to read and study the Scriptures. All of you are expected to be good stewards. Those are disciplines, and you are not, and I am not, excused from them. But you have different gifts. Dwayne's gift is going to be different from Jim's, different from mine, different from yours, And your name is Jessica. Mine is the gift of memory. But we are all required to use them, Jessica's gift, for the bride. And Elisa's gift for the bride. And Dale's gift to the bride. We started with a sentence and we'll finish with it. It would revolutionize the church if we were obedient to the application of the design for spiritual gifts. Next week, we'll move into the gifts of the Holy Spirit for us today. The week after that, we'll look into the sign gifts, their purpose and place in the church age. So good studies to come. Renew your mind. Be filled with the Holy Spirit through continued learning. And know not only your faith, but know why. And put it to use. Gracious Father, thank you for your word. May we not forget why we are given gifts. And may we be obedient to you. We pray these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.